Hello, everyone. Welcome to Children of the Void. I am Rachel Telfor, here with my co-host,
Michelle Gower.
Michelle, how are you this evening?
I am here, which is code for I'm happy to be doing this podcast, and happy Veterans Day to all those out there who served.
Yes.
Or are currently serving. Definitely not a job that is meant for everyone. So to those of you out there, I salute you.
You know what? You make a good point. We're sitting here before we started talking about how hard of a day we've had working, but they've had way harder days.
I would never compare. Never, yeah. Ever.
So I'm going to quit my bitching now and move on and say also thank you for everyone who's fought and protected and died and served and have loved ones who have for Los Estados Unidos, the United States of America. Do you like how I said that in Spanish?
We are a bilingual podcast now.
That's why.
Sometimes. I'm sure it will improve in the future for all of those who listen.
Yeah, I'm actually trying to learn fluent Spanish, hopefully, in the next couple months. So we'll see.
Awesome.
Well, yeah. What do you have? I want to mention that Michelle has been a hero on this podcast and done the research for the past two cases because we're both very, very busy. And just the soccer season and being a mom and work and all that kind of stuff, I have not been able to keep up. So I appreciate you so much. Everyone, thank Michelle. She's the reason we're here right now.
And for those with the constructive criticism, if this episode sucks, it's all on me. Rachel is just an innocent bystander.
No, I'll totally take it. My voice can annoy people, apparently, so you never know.
Well, anyway. I can too. It's whatever.
No. So what is the case that you are covering this evening?
This evening's case is that of Kyron Horman.
Kyron Horman.
2011. Do you remember this?
No, I do not. 2011. So that was
10 years ago.
Yeah. No, I don't remember this at all. So I'm interested. What state? Local or, United
Oregon.
States? Or,
yeah, Oregon. Yeah, this is the United States, yeah.
All right.
So surprisingly, I remember this case.
Wow.
Yeah, I was on the internet a lot, way too much back in the day. And I remember seeing all the reports and the photos and everything with it. And eventually hearing about the trial, and it still breaks my heart to this day. And you guys, for those of you who know the story, you know what I'm talking about. For those of you who are just finding out this evening, you will come to understand why. So let's get started.
All right. Oh my gosh, I'm afraid.
Don't be afraid. Deep breaths.
Yes.
So Kyron Horman was born on September 9th, 2002. To parents Desiree Young and Kane Horman. Desiree and Kane were married, but actually got divorced when Desiree was 8 months pregnant with Kyron, but they did have shared custody of their son. In 2004, Desiree was diagnosed with kidney failure, so Kane, the father, gained full custody of Kyron. His mom did remain an active part of his life despite the changes of the custody. In 2001, in the midst of his divorce from Desiree, Kane began a relationship with a woman named Terry Moulton. Kane and Terry would later get married in 2007 when Kyron was 5, and a year after they got married, Kyron became an older brother to a sister named Kiara.
Okay, so parents were married, got divorced when mom was pregnant, about to give birth, and then shared custody afterwards before he met his new. Okay. Question. Why would he get full custody?
Because the mom had kidney failure, and with her medical treatments, she was not fit to take care of Kyron. So he took over full custody of the son, but he would still allow Desiree, even despite her medical issues, to visit and participate and be part of his life as much as she could.
That's really, really sad.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. Proceed.
No worries. So then fast forward to 2010. Kyron was a student at Skyline Elementary near Forest Park, Oregon. So Forest Park is on the northwestern edge of Portland, to kind of give you an idea of where this takes place. On June 4th of 2010, Kyron and Terry went to a school so he could attend a science fair. Terry reports she leaves the school at 8:45 and last saw Kyron walking down the hall to his first period class, which was math. So she spends the day doing running around, running errands. She explained later on that her daughter had an earache, and to help kind of soothe the baby, she was driving around with her, just trying to keep her busy, you know, keep her calm.
So Terry's the stepmom. Sorry,
yes.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. So then at 3:30, his dad, Kane, stepmom Terry, and Kiara, his stepsister, they go to the bus stop to pick him up after school, but the bus driver explains at that time that he never got on the bus after school. So Terry calls the school, explains that no one had seen, and then the school reports that no one had seen Kyron at school since earlier in the day, so his teachers marked him absent. So basically, they saw him at the science fair, never saw him make it to first period class, no one saw him the rest of the day, they thought he left. So then when the school secretary realizes what's going on, she calls 911 to report Kyron missing.
So that was the same day.
Yes.
Around probably 4.
Yeah. So 8:45 was the last known time that his stepmom, Terry, saw him.
Okay.
And then they did not know until 3:30 that he was actually missing.
Holy cow. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't have any questions yet. I need more information. Proceed.
Okay. So initial search efforts for Kyron focused on two main areas. The first was a 2-mile radius around the school, because obviously if he was by himself, they didn't think he would get very far, as well as a place called Sovie Island. I apologize if I pronounced that wrong. It's 6 miles away. Now, Sovie Island, it's like divided into two areas. The northern half is a wildlife refuge, and the southern half is predominantly rural farmland with small residential enclaves. So, like, examples of that, there's farms, plant nurseries, pet boarding facilities, a law firm, a church, rental hall, a very famous corn maze is all.
Sounds beautiful, actually.
Yeah, it's a very nice wildlife area.
Sounds access a lot like a Sanibel Island, which is close to where I live, kind of. Half of it's sanctuary, half of it's just really fancy beach living.
Yeah. Access to the island is by the Sovie Island Bridge on Highway 30. So there's only one small route to actually get to this place. Is that how it is by you?
Yes. Yep. You have to take the bridge to get to Sanibel. And it's $6 toll. Super expensive.
Fun. The police did not initially disclose why Sovie Island was included in the initial search efforts, but that's where they started. So first searches are those two areas. June 9th. Kyron's family makes a statement to the press requesting assistance with search efforts to find him and to not give up on searching and reminding individuals and citizens to talk with neighbors, friends, get the information out, you know, figure out if anyone has any idea of the whereabouts of Kyron or has seen him since he went missing. So this is where the timeline starts jumping. Like, we're getting
okay,
going.
Okay, so that was
4 days.
Four?
5 days. So okay. June 4th, he goes missing. By June 9th, the family makes a statement to the press.
Okay. Oh, wow. Okay.
So June 12th, about 300 trained rescuers conducted a massive search effort in the wooded area surrounding Skyline Elementary. The search lasted over 10 days and is the largest in Oregon history. They had over 1,300 searchers involved who came from numerous states, including Washington and California, as well as around Oregon, to participate in looking for Kyron. At this time, they had a $25,000 reward for information leading to his whereabouts. By the end of July, so over a month later, the reward will double to $50,000.
Okay. So now, 5, 6, 7, it's been over a week. We have absolutely no evidence, no nothing, no tracks, no videotape, no leads, no scent from a dog, nothing.
Even with the searchers involved and the trained rescuers, there's no sign of Kyren anywhere. Nope. Completely
And this isn't like 1949.
Right.
You know, this is 2011. We've progressed quite a bit. By now.
It's 2010. I apologize. I got the the year wrong. But yeah, so it's recent history compared to.
Right. Okay. So no evidence. Very frustrating.
So at the end of June, Kane files for divorce and gets a restraining order against Terry after learning from investigators that Terry had attempted to hire their landscaper, a man named Rodolfo Sanchez, as a hitman to take out her husband, Kane.
Okay.
So, Sanchez would testify that Terry approached him in January of 2010, offering him, quote unquote, a lot of money to kill Kane.
Previous to the baby.
Correct. Yes.
Disappearing. Okay. I'm writing over here feverishly. Yes.
The police attempt to catch Terry in the act of, you know, admitting and confessing to this by having her meet with Sanchez while he was wired, but they didn't actually obtain any relevant evidence to arrest her. Terry was given supervised visitations with Kiara, and around the time of the divorce, Terry also failed two separate polygraph tests about Kyren's disappearance.
Okay. All right. That's awesome. Well, that's suspicious as fuck.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
No.
So, if she's involved, Terry, I think maybe, okay, so I have speculation. I have things. I'm thinking, okay, so maybe she is kind of a controlling person. Kane is kind of under her spell for a little bit. Maybe she was abusing the baby. He didn't say anything until she started going after him.
It's all speculation.
Exactly.
There's no evidence to correlate anything you just said.
All right. Well, my papo opinion is that Terry is guilty in something in this. So we'll just put
And you're not the only person who feels this way. And here's why. So we're going to fast forward to July of 2010. Again, I apologize if I pronounce these names wrong. I have a tendency to do that. Dee Dee Spiker, her name's spelled interestingly, she's a friend of Terry's. Okay. So she's questioned by police regarding Terry's whereabouts at the time that Kyren went missing. She reports that the day he went missing, Dee Dee left her job at 11:30 a.m. very suddenly, and did not return until 1 p.m. and had allegedly been helping Terry by an untraceable cell phone. Okay.
Go ahead. No.
So Dee Dee denies knowing anything about foul play surrounding Kyren's disappearance involving herself or Terry.
Is this just a friend?
Yes.
Okay. Who helped Terry buy an untraceable cell phone?
Correct.
But she denied knowing anything about it. Okay.
She alleged that she helped her buy it, but she didn't explain why and didn't seem to think it had anything to do with Kyren, or there wasn't anything
suspicious
in her eyes. Yeah.
No suspicion.
She said no sus. So.
No sus, fam. All the sus, by the way. Sorry, we have kids. They say stuff like that.
I like to think I'm relevant. It's a joke anymore. August of 2010, Desiree and Kane and the school principal all get subpoenaed to testify before the grand jury.
Good.
There's no indictments.
Bad.
Correct. So there's just not enough evidence.
God, there's nothing.
Everyone
just... Somebody had to have seen or known about something. There's just no way.
So, fast forward to November 29th of 2010. By this time, there's over 4,000 tips that were received regarding Kyren's disappearance, and the case had cost Save Oregon $1.4 million.
Wow.
So it's one of the largest and most expensive and extensive cases missing persons.
With no evidence.
Correct.
Okay. This is infuriating.
Yes.
This is very frustrating right now.
So the case remains active because obviously there's no body found. There's no person found. No one knows where Kyren is. No one knows what happened. So June 1st, 2012, Desiree files a lawsuit against Terry claiming she was responsible for Kyren's disappearance. Terry attempted to delay the lawsuit and then was denied by the judge.
Desiree was mom?
Yes.
Okay.
October 2012.
Okay.
Dee Dee refuses to answer any of the 142 questions posed to her during her deposition regarding Terry's lawsuit. Some of these questions include her whereabouts the day Kyren went missing. She refused to identify a photo of Kyren or even acknowledge that she had ever met Kyren or his dad, Kane.
Oh. Okay. And you're going to tell me at the end of the story that this is still unsolved, Michelle, and I'm really going to be upset about it.
So Kane later explains that the police have probable cause to suspect Terry and Kyren's disappearance. So for those of
he's
you,
he's the only one who said anything at all so far.
Well, no, because Terry filed the or Desiree filed the lawsuit. Right. Desiree and Kane both are pointing the finger at Terry, but neither of them have sufficient evidence.
Got it.
To 100% without a doubt be like, she did it. Here's how she did it. Here's whatever was involved.
And she's pleading the fifth on 142 questions. 142.
She's she knows nothing. Well, Dee Dee is her best friend.
Correct.
The one who was involved with the untraceable cell phone. She's claiming to know nothing.
You know what, though? I'm not going to lie. That's the smart thing to do in that situation. If you were not. I'm playing devil's advocate because if you know something, I personally would say something, but if you kind of are in that weird situation of really not knowing and you're terrified that you're going to get implicated in something, pleading the fifth is the way to go.
I think a lot of it deals with the fact that she's trying to cover her ass because she's unintentionally involved. And this is just my papal opinion.
Exactly. That's what I'm trying to say.
But at the same point, by even denying you know of his existence, to be on the, you know, to be in the, you know, to hear that
is
infuriating. To pretend you're that stupid and not, you know, involved in someone's life to not even know the husband or their stepson. Like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, she took it to a level she didn't need to take it.
142 questions deep.
Yeah. That this is a really infuriating case. Good job.
So, for those of you who aren't very familiar with technical terms, you know, revolving around law enforcement stuff like that, probable cause. What caused, you know, to suspect Terry and Kyren's disappearance, the way Kane describes it. Courts usually find probable cause when there is a reasonable basis for believing a crime may have been committed or when evidence of the crime is present in the place to be searched. So, for example, had they found his t-shirt with bloodstains on it and it was nearby something that obviously only Terry would have had access to, that's probable cause. Or knowing enough about someone's background and the kind of crimes that they've committed and the patterns that they have versus what's currently going on, that can also lead to probable cause.
Mm-hmm.
It's not shadow of, you know, without a doubt, but it's something.
It's enough to
get the ball rolling.
Exactly. It's very mind blowing that there's nothing, not shoe print, a sniff, a fingerprint, a drop of blood, nothing. Nobody's saying anything. It's just, I find that so very hard to believe in a case this late.
Right. And it time. Really makes you wonder what exactly happened to where someone, especially in this day and age, can vanish without a trace.
Yeah, it's just not possible.
I wouldn't say not possible. It's just not probable. Yes. So by the end of July of 2013, Desiree, again, Kyren's mom, drops the lawsuit against Terry, citing she does not want the lawsuit to interfere with the active investigation. All this time, Desiree has not given up hope of finding her son. She just wants him home, and she misses him dearly. She even has, there's actually Facebook accounts where she was posting information, updates, you know, reminders of, you know, missed birthdays. He's still out there. Hotline information. Like, it's all out
knowing.
There. Yeah.
The not knowing.
Right. Right. That's the worst.
The okay. worst.
So before I tell you the next part, because this is also going to be infuriating, I'm gonna take a step back to one of the tips that the police received.
Okay.
Back when the investigation was going on. So allegedly, according to a couple eyewitnesses, now I could not figure out if these were children who attended the elementary school or if this was staff or who, but the day of the science fair, some people were claiming that they saw Kyren leave with his stepmother.
Okay. So those.
And that they went towards a white pickup truck. And there was someone else, or not a white pickup truck, Terry's truck. And there was someone else sitting in the truck at the time. They couldn't make out who, but they thought that they saw another individual in Terry's car around the time he would have been leaving the fair. And they never figured out who that was.
Let's just not follow up on that. That doesn't seem pertinent at all.
Okay.
That doesn't seem like a pertinent fact. What are you talking about?
It's a tip.
It's a good, well, again, we don't know where it's coming from, but.
Hey. Okay. So knowing this.
No, oh, God, now you're going to piss me off, aren't you?
Always. It's my job.
Thanks, Michelle.
Anytime. In September of 2016, Terry goes on Dr. Phil, claiming her innocence and attempting to prove that to the public that she's not as nasty as she seems and that she's not the bad guy. She believes that Kyren is still alive, and her speculation is that he was kidnapped by a man in a white pickup truck. So there was a story that Terry had told about this weird-ass guy in a pickup truck at a gas station acting erratically near the school.
That sounds familiar. That sounds familiar.
But here's where this gets juicy.
Okay.
So in 2016, the same year she's on Dr. Phil, she actually gets arrested two separate times.
Okay.
Once, she gets arrested for stealing a gun from a roommate, and the second was for driving a stolen car.
Wow. How old is this woman at this time? Do we know?
Nope. But here's the real kick in the pants. This is that probable cause crap. Court records reveal Terry had been involved in another murder for hire in 1990 that is still under investigation.
Shut the front door right now.
Slam it shut.
Shut the front door. Absolutely not. There's still an open investigation for a... Hang on, I have to feverishly write notes right now. Where?
I could not find those details.
Really?
So, if any of our listeners who...
Please.
Yes. Give us all the information, all the resources that we can eat up on this.
I want somebody... I just hope somebody in law enforcement gets triggered onto or hooked onto this show. Because I want to... This case, I want more information on. I have questions. Let's build a force.
My biggest thing is it's cliche. The first 48 hours are crucial in a missing person case. because it's within those 48 hours statistically that it's going to make or break. You're either going to come home or not.
It's a whole show, guys. Come
yes.
on.
So the fact that she is so adamant that Kyren was alive when he went missing kind of makes you wonder, like, why are you so certain? Even after all these years, because she did this in 2016. He went missing 6 years prior.
The fact that she's even still talking about it is a red flag to me. Because and also narcissistic. Because you would just let it go, right? But no, you're going to continue to make yourself part of it.
And it's not even that she's like on Dr. Phil advocating finding him.
Right.
It's her trying to clear her own name. And essentially is digging herself deeper along with these arrests and her criminal past kind of coming back in her face. Like,
that's crazy.
She stepped on the landmine that she planted.
Good. Well, I want karma to continue coming after her, though, because this is crazy that we don't. Okay.
Yeah. Kyren's case remains active to this day.
Okay.
No idea. There were search efforts to, you know, locate his body, you know, if he hadn't, you know, deceased. And in the midst of everything, you know, it just never panned out.
So nothing. No, we don't have a body. We don't have, I mean, we have, I'm sorry, my probable cause is laying on Terry right now. I want the police officers in this jurisdiction questioned. I want a documentary. I have questions on all of this. A 5-year-old doesn't go completely vanish with no trace and no lead, no nothing. When you spend $1.how many million dollars on searching for the baby and nothing, no, nothing, right. Not a cent, dogs, helicopter, heat sensors, something. Was the truck searched? I have questions.
I'm still researching stuff too. So
this is infuriating. This is a very infuriating case.
Yeah. Yes.
Is. So, and you said FBI was involved. So, local authorities for this case would be. This is a town. Oh, Forest Park, Oregon.
Yeah, and if you research some of these websites, especially like ABC, the local news for him, his mom, there was actually a report on June 4th of this year, and it showed updated photos from the age progressed photos.
Oh my God.
From the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children had done. And it just, he's a teenager.
Oh, Morgan, producer, can you please link that to this case?
Yeah, he was 7 when he was last seen. So he would be almost a young adult at this point.
That's just heartbreaking.
This kind of scenario as a papo kind of makes me wonder if she's so convinced that he was alive, was he somehow trafficked for one reason or another? And maybe that's why they could not find him.
Wow. That's a.
Because to me, that seems like one of the only.
In your papo mind, that's not a bad. Wow. I think back in that time specifically, it was rampant, according to like the documentaries and news stories we've gotten out recently, right?
Unfortunately, it's still rampant. It's just a matter of we know more about it now than we did then.
Good point.
Social media has kind of infested our lives a lot more, and there's more opportunity for CCTV and home security systems and devices
to catch you.
Yes.
Why was there
not saying it's not saying it's full, you know, foolproof, but it's still something.
Yeah. And more, I guess, now than it was that what 2010.
So 11 years ago.
Then they had cameras on schools, surely.
Well, allegedly not, because they couldn't even capture on footage them walking through a parking lot.
I don't understand.
Like I thought, trafficking again, is like the most logical explanation for how someone could vanish into thin air, because they will literally change everything they can about the kids, as far as they'll immediately get them out of the clothes they were last seen in. They'll change the hair. They'll do something so that the child is less recognizable. And it's about,
and they're just gone.
Yeah. Being on the move. Going places. And that's even if they stayed in the United States.
It's impossible to track. Right?
I honestly couldn't tell you. I wouldn't even know where to start. And I don't know enough about... Yeah, I don't know enough about the dark web or want to... I don't think I can handle it.
Nope, I'm all set. This is about as far as I can go. But let's also not forget... And what I really want information on desperately more than anything right now at this very moment hearing this is her other murder for hire case. That could lead to a lot of information. What was her, you know, how was she involved in that?
Let me see.
Who was it? What was it? Who was she collaborating with? There's so many questions. Yeah, it's very frustrating.
Okay, so I'm reading this off of a news website. I hate this. The investigation by KGW-TV. Now, this was from 2017.
Okay.
So they did this investigation 4 years ago. It involved a murder for hire plot that targeted Horman's boyfriend at the time, named Sean Rhea. R-E-A. Rhea Ray. The plot took place in 1990 when she was 20 years old.
Wow. 1990, Rhea, she was 20?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, Sean said that he and Terry sat down at a park in Roseburg, I'm sorry, when a strange man with a gun came after him, with Terry saying, "He's here for you."
Wow. Okay.
No shots were fired in the confrontation. Hornan and Rhea broke up after the incident.
But that doesn't make her a child killer. But it is sus.
It is very.
Very sus.
So.
She's 10 years older than me because I was 10 in 1990. So she's 51 now.
Mm-hmm. So even though the police have known about the accusation of the original murder for hire plot since 2011, the details have never been made public.
Wonder why. And then, so Desiree,
well, it's still an active investigation. I think part of that is they don't know who the person she hired was.
Does it say where it was?
Roseburg.
Same state, Oregon?
I believe it is Oregon, yes. But according to...
You need to get your... investigating together. Sorry.
Detective Morgan. No relation to Dexter. According to Rhea... Investigators told him about an inmate who confessed to a murder for hire scheme decades ago in Roseburg, and many of the details allegedly matched the inmate's account, reportedly. Like, so Rhea and the inmate, they had similar... Their plot points matched. But they did not name the inmate.
Well, then, if you're not going to name anybody, you have to move forward with the investigation and have an update.
Well, it's still active.
Otherwise, you have to do something with it.
I know.
Too long.
Don't bitch at me. Don't kill the messenger. You need to write a stern letter to the police department or whoever's in charge of this now.
This is ridiculous. I'm upset about it. And I've already, somebody please have information. And let's get those numbers. You can always call the FBI, which is a super generic number that we should have listed all the time. But you can call any local police department that is not, I mean, that's capable, and they can deliver messages. So, or leads.
But yeah.
Or lend a hand. I don't know. Do you need a forensic scientist? Do you need a police dog? Do you need some cop cars? Do you need some fingerprint dusting dust? You need something.
I know. And there have been, so in the years since his disappearance, there have been amateur investigators who have done like scuba dives in some of the lakes and areas around, attempting to see if maybe, you know, he was dumped in something, or like, you know, how, you know, you ditch a car, you know, things like that. They never turned up anything. So, nothing. Yeah.
Not a piece of clothes. Not nothing. Just nothing.
No. Just a missing little boy.
All right. Well, this is the most frustrating case I think I've ever listened to in my entire life. So thank you.
It needs to be said, though. It needs to be said.
Yes, it does. These are the kind of cases that we should be talking about.
We shouldn't forget it.
Because I forgot about this.
I never forgot his face. When you Google Kyron Horman's name, the first picture that comes up is actually, ironically, the picture his stepmom, Terry, took at the science fair that day.
Wow. Yeah, these are the kind of cases I love talking about, or not love talking about. I misspoke. I want to talk about, because it can jog somebody's memory. Maybe somebody that's listening, or somebody who knows somebody that's listening, knows something more and can help. That's it. Just one thing. So I appreciate you covering this. You did a really great job.
Thank you.
And I hope everyone's as frustrated as I am, and continues to listen to us as we bring these really sad cases to you. But there is a reason behind it, right?
Every venture into the void is another opportunity to shed light on a case that may have gone cold, or hopefully, just like you said, jogs the memory of our listeners and can bring a child home.
Yep. Or prevent a child from being taken. If you see something, say something. Correct. I'll always say that. Oof, that was heavy. Any last words? We'll have Morgan post that. And his age progression photo, just in case somebody may see him. And then all the numbers. Are you, did I lose you?
No, I'm here.
Okay, good. Alrighty, Michelle. Well, I appreciate you. Did you have anything else you wanted to talk about?
Unfortunately not.
Okay. Well, until next time, everyone, we appreciate you for listening, for sticking with us. We appreciate the positive, constructive criticisms and feedback. As always, negative stuff will be laughed at and ignored. So thank you. And we will talk to you, see you. Michelle, take us out.
Again, if anyone has any cases that may be less talked about or less known about, gladly contact us or our producer, Morgan Rector. And we will do what we can to research and shed light on these cases. And just join us next time we venture into the void.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks.